My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
.103, Malusa's with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. We'll get to Connor Hughes here momentarily from SNY. I want to play back a little bit of the general manager, Joe Douglas, here momentarily, talking about Hassan Reddick a little bit earlier on this morning as he met with the media. You could just play the whole clip talking about Reddick if we have it. Here he goes. Here's Douglas on Hassan Reddick and where the Jets stand after their cut down to 53 on Tuesday.
I would say clear and direct from the beginning, and you know, I have a lot of respect for the agent as well. So, again, the ball's in their court, and you know, whenever he's ready to come here.
Why didn't you renegotiate the contract before executing the trade?
Well, I mean, in simple terms, we did talk about an extension once that once one wasn't agreed upon. You know, we had the conversation and we felt good about making the trade. And so, obviously, came here, reported, had a great day here, and again, we just. We're just waiting his arrival.
Do you feel like there can't renege on a verbal agreement to play under his existing contract?
I'd say that again, from our standpoint, you know, we've been really clear and direct with our communication, and you know, again, a lot of respect for the agent, a lot of respect for the player, and. I have faith that this will all get resolved.
That is the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, down in Florham Park as he met with the media earlier this morning. And customarily, after the cutdowns, before the start of the regular season, you know, kind of the state of the team. Here's the issue that you have with the Jets when it comes down to Hassan Reddick. And mind you, you know, the Jets are in, you know, a really talented group. They are. This scenario could have been easily avoided. This scenario is one that gives you a little confidence, or if you have a little confidence that the Jets can have that kind of year that I talked about yesterday, not only going to the playoffs, potentially winning the AFC East, going on a deep playoff run, winning the Lombardi Trophy, everything that you thought that this Jets team could potentially do come February after they acquired Aaron Rodgers two off-seasons ago. I know last year obviously changed after he tore his Achilles four plays into the year, but the handling of this situation, you know, is one that could have clearly been avoided. Number one, you know, the Jets, after losing Huff in free agency, and knew he was going to leave. A guy that came here, developed here. The Jets turned him into a player. His pressure rate, and he obviously worked his rear end off. His pressure rate was off the charts. The Jets went out there and acquired the Philadelphia Eagles headache and brought him in here and didn't rectify that headache. Because I don't care what Hassan Reddick had said. I don't care what his agent said. I don't care the fact that he had a nice visit after the trade and all of these things and said all the right things at the time. You knew at some point in time, Hassan Reddick, you were going to have to grease the palm. I mean, at some point in time, Hassan Reddick was going to look at this situation and realize that the leverage that he had as a edge rusher, a pass rush specialist who has been successful at getting to the quarterback, whether it be Carolina, whether it be the last couple of years with the Philadelphia Eagles, last year out in Arizona, a guy that could get after the quarterback. You knew that this was a win-now situation. Chips were all in the middle of the table, and that the Jets needed, who have no history with Hassan Reddick, has never lined up, never put the jersey on, never lined up, played it down in the regular season, that the Jets were going to have to pacify or appease Hassan Reddick at some point in time. And you know what? They've done none of it. And that's where you have to have the wherewithal if you're Joe Douglas. I don't care what the agent said. I don't care what Hassan Reddick had to say individually. I don't care the fact that he had negotiations to begin with. I don't care the mantra that you're telling him now that in order for us to talk about your contract, you have to show up. He has no emotional connection to this organization. Therefore, obviously, we saw it 2-3 weeks ago where he requested a trade. Then you saw the statement from Joe Douglas. And this is a scenario where you do not need the headache that is there. Now, do the Jets' defense, will they be better with Hassan Reddick? Absolutely. Is he a guy that would, you know, is this team going to sink or swim based on whether or not Hassan Reddick plays this year? No, I wouldn't put it to that level. He is not, you know, TJ Watt. He is not that, he's not Micah Parsons. He's not that caliber of player. But could he help the Jets? No question. As Douglas is getting asked questions today, you know, about trading John Franklin Myers to the Denver Broncos, as you're going to watch Bryce Huff do his thing down in Philadelphia this year with the Eagles. And the Jets are now dealing with a headache where they hope that Hassan Reddick realizes maybe the error of his ways and shows up and is there for week one when they take on the San Francisco 49ers. Like, it's amazing. This could all have been avoided. Because if you're smart enough, if you're savvy enough, if you have a little bit of vision and you look at the scenario, the Eagles were not running, were not walking. They were sprinting away from Hassan Reddick. Howie Roseman, one of the great executives in the National Football League, was not willing to go out there and give Reddick, knowing going into the final year of his contract, was not willing to give Hassan Reddick a contract extension. And the Jets acquired him and thought he was going to play nice, knowing that this is an all-in season. And you know what? If I know it, if you know it, if everybody and their mother knows it, looking at the New York Jets, knowing that the window is closing with us, with Aaron Rodgers, don't you think Hassan Reddick and his agent know it as well? Now, there's levels of issues, right? There certainly are. Quarterback's the most important position in the NFL. The Jets have remarkable depth along the defensive line. Defense is going to be a top three unit with or without Hassan Reddick during the course of the regular season. However, a guy that has his ability to get after the quarterback, to generate turnovers, to generate pressure rate, you know what? That guy is not easy to find in the National Football League. I don't care what guys look like during the course of the preseason. That guy is not easy to find. And if you're the Jets, the biggest thing, I'm not telling you have to sign Hassan Reddick to a contract extension and give him 3 or 4 years on top of the 1 year that he has left on his deal. But you could have made life a little bit easier on yourselves. Instead of creating this headache and instead of creating this storyline, everything being honky-dory, getting ready to take on the San Francisco 49ers next Monday night, September what, the 9th? The goal in hand. Winning a Super Bowl, going to the playoffs, being a dangerous team come January. All of those things that we talk about with this Jet team. A team that is the talent, when you look at this roster, of winning a Super Bowl this year. Why not have the vision that when you go out and acquire a player going into the final year of his deal, knowing that that contract was going to be have to be restructured in some sort of way to make it easy for him to come here to New York. Easy for him to come play a year for the Jets. Easy for him to be successful, because you best believe Hassan Reddick knows the talent on this Jet organization, knows the talent on this Jet defense, knows that he's not going to be singularly doing it all on his own. He knows he could have a really successful year, yet here he is. Nowhere to be found. Sal is not reaching out anymore. Douglas is telling you how much he respects the agent, is, respects Hassan Reddick. Can ask questions whether or not they, you know, Reddick and his agent went back on their word. That, if you don't believe in the Jets, this scenario only adds fuel to the fire. This situation tells you, yeah, Jets are going to get in their own way. Because you know why? The Jets are going to jet. That's it. Because this could have easily been avoided. Easily have been avoided. Could have had vision with Huff, a player you developed, in signing him to an extension before he hit free agency. You could have had a scenario where you work with John Franklin Myers before you had to trade him to the Denver Broncos. And not dealing with this. Because you know what this is? A distraction. An unnecessary distraction. You can look at this 53-man roster, and I give the Jets a lot of credit for, you know, finding undrafted free agent defensive linemen and having those guys, and they had three of them, make the team. Chester Taylor, one of them, the kid out of Miami, who the Jets believed, if you had questions about his character, that they had enough leadership in that room that he was going to prove to be a player, because there was no doubt he was talented enough to be drafted in the seven-round NFL draft. And those guys have, you know, flashed during the course of the preseason. That's great. That's fantastic. But that's preseason football. That's not regular season football. You brought in a guy in Reddick when you acquired him from the Philadelphia Eagles. And Howie Roseman, savvy executive with Philadelphia, as they go all in on this season once again, trying to bury how last season ended. Looked at Huff as an upgrade. The Jets looked at Hassan Reddick as a one-year Band-Aid. And to now have the scenario where the general managers meet with the media and they're hoping that he'll report, telling Reddick they're not trading him, telling everybody and their mother that, you know, if he's here, we'll talk about a contract. Had initial conversations with Reddick about a potential contract before they acquired him and decided to make the deal anyways. Well, you got to be smarter than that. And here's the issue you have. Because we had a couple callers call up yesterday and say, wow, the Jets should just move him. Who exactly is acquiring the Jets' headache? Unless it has reached a point to where Reddick would be willing to go play someplace else, and there's been a fracturing of the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Relationship so much that he's just unwilling to play here.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Ah, yes, today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. And who better than Connor Hughes? Does a great job covering the Jets, the Giants, the NFL for SNY. Connor, good afternoon, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you, Moose?
I'm doing really well. What did you make of what you heard from Douglas regarding the Hassan Reddick situation?
It's funny because anytime I'm asked about the Reddick situation, whether it's professionally or personally with people who see me or just Jet fans that know me, that kind of a thing. I feel like this broken record because I've just been saying the same thing every single time dating back to minicamp. And I think what Joe did when he had his press conference today was he just reiterated the same exact things we have been saying dating back to when he didn't show up to minicamp. It's this standoff that really I don't know when it's going to change, because this isn't like, to me, Jamar Chase or Brandon Ayuk or anything like that. This is a situation where the Jets, and this is Joe Douglas's words, where he said that they have made it very clear that they have said, we are not giving you an adjusted contract until you show up. And from Reddick's point of view, he's saying, I am not showing up until I get a new or adjusted contract. And it's just this odd little standoff where neither side is willing to budge. And why there has been no update and there has been no change is because those two sides have not changed their stance. They are still saying the exact same things, and neither side has been willing to budge. And from the Jets' point of view, they've said, we're not changing. And I think the words that stood out to me that Joe Douglas said was that the ball is in their court. So that's the way that they view this. When Hassan Reddick shows up, it will be when Hassan Reddick wants to show up. So when he decides to end his holdout, it could be in an hour. It could be after the season. It could be week 8. They don't know. That's when this thing will end, but not until that happens.
All right, Connor, when did it change for Reddick? You know, he's brought down to Florham Park, said everything.
Yeah.
He said all the right things. What was the point where the communication or the stances changed from Reddick and his agent?
I wish I could tell you. And this is where, again, I don't know Tory Dandy from a personal perspective. So it's not like I can go and be like, oh, this is what Tory's telling me. But from the Jets side of this, and that's what this is the Jets side, as I can tell you, is that when this, they were given permission to speak to Hassan Reddick before the trade. So basically, when Hassan Reddick said, I want to be traded from the Eagles, the Eagles said, okay, you can go talk to other teams. The Jets were given permission to speak to Reddick. They made that initial contract offer to him, which was a very team-friendly deal. It was never something that Reddick was going to accept. When he denied that, the Jets say that they told Reddick in that moment, if you want a more lucrative contract extension, you need to come out and play for us in season and perform in season, and we will take that film and we'll hand it to Woody Johnson, and that'll be our justification to pay you. If you want an adjusted contract, show up and show you're committed to us, and then we will commit to you. The Jets say that they were told by Reddick's representation at that point in time, okay, we will play on our current deal until that point in time, we're good. They execute the trade, he comes out, boom, all of this breaks apart. That's basically when it happened. And from Reddick's side of things, he's saying that the Jets are lying and that that's not true, that they said they were going to have a new deal and the deal wasn't done. It really is a he said situation. But from what I understand, when the Jets realized we might have an issue was basically when communication was completely cut off during the voluntary portion of the offseason program, because they were under the impression, Moose, that he was going to be there for OTAs, not just mandatory minicamp. He was going to be there for OTAs. That's what he told multiple coaches when he showed up for that physical, that he was going to be there for that. When he did not show up for that, it was kind of a little puzzling. When there was a lack of communication at that point, that was a little puzzling. And then obviously when he did not show up for mandatory minicamp, that's when things became abundantly clear that there was a divide. And I can tell you that from what I've heard, the way that it was phrased to me was somebody got in Reddick's ear. I don't think it was his agent. I don't think this was Torrey. I think that Torrey and Joe have a pretty good mutual respect for each other, that they had an understanding of how this was going to go. At some point, someone in Reddick's circle got in his ear, and then this obviously all kind of went to hell.
All right, two more on Reddick before we move on. The thing that hits me is that for Reddick, the relationship between Reddick right now and the Jets, do you think from what you understand, Connor, do you think it's beyond repair?
No, because if he shows up and he has double-digit sacks or he's the force that he's been the last 4 or 5 years of his career, no, I don't think.
Well, to get him to show up, I mean, to get him in the building. I mean, I mean that's the thing, to get him there.
So here's the thing: is that it's all contingent on Reddick and when Reddick wants to show up. And I don't know Hassan at all. I interviewed him actually his rookie when he was in the draft. Like he did the event in Philadelphia, because I think that was the year he was drafted in Philly. So I did an event and talked to him there, wrote a feature on him at the time for the Star Ledger. But that's my only communication that I've ever had with Reddick. Those that do know him, though, that I've talked to, some people that are familiar with him, they believe that he is the player that if he decides he's going to hold out the year, he's not going to be swayed by public opinion. He's not going to be swayed by a paycheck. He will stick to his guns and hold out the entire year. Are we there yet? I don't think so. But honestly, this is, again, Moose, it is just when Reddick decides he is willing to show up, that's when this thing will end. And until he decides he's willing to show up, I don't know how it's going to change. I really don't. Other than the Jets say right now, Moose, that they have the leverage. They believe that they have the leverage, which, again, when all we have is training camp to come off of, they can say that. They can state that Will McDonald's stronger. They believe in Michael Clemens. They love these three undrafted guys they kept. They believe they have enough in the defensive line room. That is fine, and your only option is to believe them until there is tangible proof that that is not the case. That tangible proof comes in the opener against San Francisco when the Jets lose and they can't sniff Brock Purdy. If that happens, the leverage shifts from the Jets to Reddick, and that's when Reddick can basically say to the Jets, I'm not a luxury, I'm a necessity. Right now, the Jets say he's a luxury. When he becomes a necessity, that's when I think Joe Douglas is, I think that's when things might change from the Jets, where they make they maybe come off their stance of, we're not negotiating with you until you show up.
Well, that has to be it, Connor. I mean, it has to be the case of somebody, as you mentioned, not his agent, somebody gets in his ear, this is an all-in year for the Jets, you've got the leverage, you're a necessity, Franklin Myers is a Bronco. Huff is an Eagle. They need you to get after the quarterback. The window on Rodgers is closing. Now you have an opportunity to squeeze the Jets for a new contract. I mean, that had to be the case where Reddick's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm not coming there. They need me. That defense needs me. That had to be. I'm just curious exactly when that transpired, because that he believes that he has the leverage, not the Jets.
Well, from his standpoint, his stance is that he thought that the Jets were going to give him the adjusted contract. The new contract obviously was never coming, but the adjusted contract, converting non-guaranteed to guaranteed, building in incentives, I think he was under the impression that that was coming basically as soon as the trade was going down. The Jets insist that that is not the case, and that they made it clear that they were not doing anything until he showed up, when I think Reddick believes he was at least getting that adjusted contract right off the bat. Again, he got annoyed by that. He got ticked off by that. He believes that they were lying, and that he's basically said now that I am not showing up until you give me a new deal. And that, like I said, I hate repeating.
But really,
not for humor. It's just because I wrote a story today for SNY, and I'm like, I'm basically copying and pasting the same story I've written four times. Nothing's changed. It's the same exact thing, and I feel bad because you want news, fans want news, everyone wants news. But truly, nothing has changed, because all this is that the Jets are saying we are not adjusting our stance. So it's all about when Reddick wants to show up, and until Reddick decides to show up, nothing's going to happen. Now, where I believe the Jets' stance will change, and it has to change, is if that first game of the season against the 49ers, and especially if it's week one and week two, if they're not sniffing the quarterback, they're going to have to make an adjustment here, because they can't die on their sword in a win-now season where they absolutely have to make the playoffs and make a run. They believe that Reddick is a necessity and he has to help them and they need him to win. That's when I think that they just change it. Forget pride. You got to go out there and win football games.
Yeah. Percentage right now of him being there week one against San Francisco, 0?
I'll get maybe 1%, I would say. Yeah. Joe just talked to us today. He hasn't had any communication with his representation, Tory Dandy, in quite a while. I think it was before the Judon trade was the last time that he had communication with him. So it's been a minute or two since these two sides have talked, as Joe just told us. So I don't know. Now, granted, Moose, all it takes is Tory or Joe picking up their phone and having a conversation. Suddenly, this is all resolved. But it certainly does not look very good for week one.
All right, let's talk about Jets' big picture outside of Reddick. How talented, when they cut the roster, how much more talented is this group this year than they were a year ago, Connor?
Very. This team's really good. I feel weird saying it, because every year I've covered the Jets, they've been some variation of bad. This team's really good, dude. There are the only two questions that I really have about the roster moves is wide receiver two, where you don't totally know what you're getting from Mike Williams or how much is left in the tank of Mike Williams, and I don't think that Alan Lazard is very good. And then Jason Brownlee, who they were planning on relying going into the season, was cut. So, it kind of tells you he just didn't develop as expected. I do think he'll be back on the practice squad, but it's just he didn't develop as a starter like they thought he might. Wide receiver two and safety, where it's opposite Tony Adams with Chuck Clark. If your biggest concern going into a season is wide receiver two and safety, you're a pretty damn good team. And that's truly what the Jets are. They have weapons. They have playmakers. This offensive line, when healthy, is absolutely dominant. Aaron Rodgers looks as good as he's ever been. And they have a top five, top ten defense. So I guess you could loop in concern, too, being offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. I think that is an issue of mine. But I think Aaron Rodgers is so good that he's probably going to alleviate a lot of those concerns. So from a talent perspective, they're up there of the top 3, 4, 5 most talented teams, not in the AFC, in the entire NFL. I genuinely do believe that the Jets are that good. It's just a matter of them putting it all together.
Connor, those that have concerns about Saleh as a head coach, where would you push back?
We're going to find out. I there's nothing to push back on, because there's no evidence that he's a good coach. I don't think alarming evidence he's a bad coach, because you can point to he hasn't had the quarterback. He hasn't had the this. He hasn't had the that. We're going to find out this year, and we're going to find out very early if Robert Saleh has it or not. I believe he does. I just from getting to know him, I do think he's a solid coach. It's just a matter of we need to see it now, and we are going to see it, because there's no more excuses at all. You have the defense, you have the offensive line, playmakers, quarterback. Now you got to go out there and win games. If they're not winning games, then you can absolutely point fingers at the head coach.
This group vibe, one more on the Jets. I want to get to the Giants, yeah, as Shane and Dave's met with the media yesterday.
I got time, Moose. I'm driving down to the beach right now.
I got
all the time in the world.
I got
hour 50 on the GPS right now, so we can do the Moose and Connor show.
Where are you going on the Jersey Shore?
We go. My wife's family has a place on the north end of Wildwood, so we're going down there.
Nice. Kicking off Labor Day weekend. That's fantastic.
There all you right. go.
Good enough. When you look at you know, the vibe around this team. Last year was Hard Knocks, obviously year one with Aaron Rodgers. This year, pressure on Woody Johnson, you know, make the playoffs. All the stuff that we heard about in the offseason, guys' jobs are on the line. Does this group, you know the it's one thing to know you're good, but you think everything is in place for this team to be able to handle the expectations as well?
Last year they were cocky. They were arrogant. They were full of themselves. I think they drank their own Kool-Aid and they expected to go in the last year and win. And I don't mean that from just players. That's coaching staff. That's upper management. That's ownership. I mean, when you literally had Woody walking around the field with a blinged out Woody chain, like Sauce Gardner had with the sauce sign. Like it was, they were feeling themselves last year. And then they got slapped in the face, whether the Aaron Rodgers injury, the losses, the Zach Wilson, everyone making fun of them. They were very much humbled. They're going into this year very well aware that they are a very good football team on paper, but that they need to prove it. And in a way, if the Jets accomplish what I think they're capable of accomplishing this year, I think a big reason why they do it is what happened last season. Like that, they were very much humbled. And they now realize that there is nothing else matters except for what the scoreboard reads at the end of every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and I guess Saturday now technically, and Friday too, whenever they're playing NFL games. That's all that really matters. And they know that, and they're aware of that. And they know that this season they got to go out there and win it. They know they're capable of winning it, but that doesn't mean anything. They actually have to go out there and do it.
All right, we're talking to Connor Hughes from SNY. Let's move over to the Giants, Connor. Before we get to some of the stuff that Shane and Dabbs had to say yesterday, I want to ask you, you know, just kind of general feel. Year one for Shane and Daboll, you know, there was unexpected, right? But you knew it was going to be an upgrade from Gettleman and Judge, right? But you didn't know what to get. Tremendous. Last year going into the year, expectations, obviously, after year one success, you know, a lot of positivity. Year three, a lot of negativity around this team in terms of the expectations going into 24. Has it almost gone too far to the negative in terms of the Giants for the 24 campaign?
No, because I think they're pretty bad. They're not a very good football team, I don't think. They've got some good players. They have some building block pieces there with Malik Nabers, that pass rush. The offensive line, I talked to Jet sources after that joint practice they had, and they praised the Giants' offensive line universally. So the offensive line's better, but the quarterback is an issue. Everything on the offense outside of Malik Nabers from a playmaking perspective is an issue. The secondary is very, very bad. Fabio Carriquet is good, but you worry about what's next to him. Also, the Giants' ability to stop the run. I know Chapman's a good camp story, but are you really relying on him to be a run stuffer next to Dexter Lawrence? I mean, there's some problems on the Giants roster that are going to hold them back this year, where it would not surprise me if this team only wins four or five games. I mean, that's I just don't think they're very good. But the thing is, the flip side of it is that I do believe that Joe Shane is building this thing the right way. I do believe that Brian Daboll is a good coach. It's just going to take time. And you mentioned that playoff season, Moose, and I honestly think that was probably one of the worst things that happened to the Giants. Just because it gave this false sense of where they were in their rebuild. And after that first year, they were still, from a talent perspective, probably one of the five or six worst teams in the NFL. They really would have valued from another top 10, top five draft pick, not only in the first round, but second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. And instead, because they won that playoff game, they were picking, what, 25 or something along those lines?
Yep.
So I think that actually hurt them a little bit, and unfortunately you're seeing that because, yeah, I know it's year three. This is usually where you turn it around, but the Giants aren't necessarily where a year three team should be, and I think because they actually won that playoff game, that's why.
What does this year, Connor, you think look like for Daniel Jones?
I don't have very high expectations, and I was talking to Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post actually about this yesterday. And he made a very good point that when Daniel Jones had that really good season when the Giants went to the playoffs, it was 11 hats on defense all keying in on Saquon Barkley. And then Jones able to make plays with his legs, make some plays through the air, run the RPO and read options and things like that. Because everyone was so focused on Barkley that it took a lot of pressure off of him. Barkley's gone. And every team is going to focus on Malik Nabers, and I don't know if anyone's really going to be afraid of Eric Gray and Singletary and Tracy, At least not yet. I mean, they're serviceable players, but I don't know if they're guys anyone's going to fear of. When teams are now game planning and have a book on Daniel Jones and how to stop Daniel Jones, I don't feel overly confident in his ability to beat the teams that are now trying to beat him. And I think it could be a pretty long year. And honestly, Moose, come October, November, it wouldn't surprise me if we're having a discussion on if the Giants are considering benching Daniel Jones so they don't have to worry about that injury guarantee that's in his contract. Now, whether John Mara allows that, we'll see. But I think it will be a discussion that we are having in short order. And the two real big games to keep an eye on there, Moose, are week one and two. Because if the Giants can't beat the Vikings and then the Giants can't beat Washington, and having seen the Commanders in a joint practice, I think there's some talent on that team, specifically with Jaden Daniels in that offense. If the Giants get off to a slow start and start 0-2, you look at the rest of that schedule the first 8 weeks of the season, it doesn't get easier from then on out, where it could be a very challenging start for this team. And as Joe Shane and Brian Dable said yesterday, they got to start fast. I worry that they're going to be able to do that and have concerns about their ability to do that.
How big of an issue was Wink fracturing on that coaching staff a year ago? Because that's the one thing, Connor, you know,
yeah.
I thought the team year one, I know success leads the way. I thought the team was ultra prepared, ready to go. The coaching staff gave them a distinct advantage. I didn't get that sense, and I know they got ravaged by injury, and I know I didn't get that sense necessarily. I'm not telling you the team quit. It didn't. But didn't get that sense year two like I did year one. What about this coaching staff year three?
They butted heads. That was definitely a thing. I mean, Brian Dable and Wink Martindale, there wasn't a pre-existing relationship there for them to know each other that well, but they butted heads just because they're very different people. I mean, Wink, for all his bravado on what you think who he is, he's not Rex Ryan. He's not boisterous. I mean, that's not. So when Brian Dable would kind of get real hot-headed and heated on the sideline, you'd see Wink was really even keel throughout the good, the bad, everything. That's just the type of coach that he is. In his opinion, you know, how can he ask his players to keep their composure if he can't keep his composure? And then Brian Dable is basically the complete opposite. The one thing that I think is not a storyline that's being talked about enough with Wink Martindale is that he took Giants defenses that really did not have a lot of talent, and his schemes were designed to confuse the opposition so much. And I'm sure sometimes they confused his own players too, but he was confusing the opposing quarterback so often that the Giants were able to orchestrate success despite not necessarily having talent. That is not Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen is a very basic, go out there and run our defense. We're not going to be too crazy with our blitzes. We're not going to be too crazy with our coverage designs. We're just going to run our defense. I don't know if the Giants have the talent on defense to do that. And they didn't have the talent the last 2 years, but Wink was so creative and unorthodox that he was able to mask some of their flaws. I think those flaws are going to be on display for the defense, and I don't know if we're talking about that too much. As far as the chemistry within the coaching staff, that was an issue last year, and you basically had three. The Giants, if the Giants let Mike Kafka go, he was going to be Seattle's offensive coordinator. Brian Dable was going to lose all three coordinators. They just didn't want the perception of what that was going to look like, so they gave Kafka the promotion to assistant head coach. You know, all right, here's a little bump, and is all that is. I think storyline is what we need throughout the year, because ultimately moves back. Factor on whether or not Dable keeps his job or not, because if that working environment, which from a coaching standpoint was at times toxic last year, if it's toxic again this year, there's going to be some changes on the sideline. I think you'll have a new head coach for the Giants next season.
Wow. You think that much pressure's on Dable this year?
Yes, I do. And I talked to a couple sources who know Dable personally, who told me that he told them, "I know I'm coaching for my job this year," which is one of the reasons he has play calling back. Is that if he's going to go down with the ship, he's not going down with somebody else calling his offense. He's going to be calling the shots. So he's well aware, and he does feel like he's coaching for his job.
Well, but Connor, if this team has talent to win four or five games, what are we judging Dayball on then?
You can still see. I think there's a difference there, Moose, between winning four or five games as a coach like Adam Gase's final. And maybe a team where it becomes very clear that there's just no talent. Like I think you can tell a distinct difference between the two. A coach that loses his team, are they fighting in every game? Are they clawing? Are they going to make, like, you can tell, in my opinion, the difference between a coach who's lost the team and lost the locker room and lost the front office and lost everything, and then a coach that is just kind of not cooking with the best groceries, as kind of Parcells used to say. I think you'll be able to tell probably before the end of the year.
Great line by Parcells. If you want me to cook the meal, let me shop for the groceries. Connor Hughes, SNY. Connor, safe travels, you and your family down to Wildwood. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend before the NFL season gets going. Appreciate the time this afternoon.
No problem. I appreciate having me, Moose.
You got it.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Strong statement from Connor Hughes, SNY, about Brian Daboll, about this year, pressure on him if he doesn't calm down. And obviously, this team shows progress based on what transpired last year. He feels like he's coaching for his job. I mean, that's interesting. Evan in Randolph, New Jersey, is up next on The Fan. What's going on, Evan?
Hey, guys. How are you? Sorry.
Evan. What's on your mind, buddy?
I was just wondering, do the Yankees do they see what we see in terms of like DJ LeMahieu's production? What exactly are they holding on to with him? I know that they have the money, but what do they know that I don't know?
Well, they know the player. They're hoping that he's a veteran player. They're looking at the back of, as the cliche goes, back of the baseball card. They're looking at the history of him as a player, and they're believing that at one point in time, he's going to find it. To go along with being a great teammate, well-respected, an easy guy to root for, and they're holding out hope. And, I mean, the contract always comes into play. They've got investment in him past this season for another couple of years. Corey Manalip in New Jersey. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for taking my call. Originally, I called up to talk about the Yankees and not kind of complain, but we Yankee fans always have these expectations. And the expectations are, hey, look, we got this pitching staff. Now we got Soto. Oh, boy, we're really going to roll. And it comes back to, oh, here we are again. And lackadaisical playing. I'm not sure whether I want to blame the manager. I probably do, but because I think he's horrible. I think he takes care of the pitching staff horribly. I think he doesn't know when to pull or when to put people in. Listen, do I expect him to do anything this year? Now I don't. After watching them the last couple of days, I don't expect anything.
But that's not the way baseball works. I mean, the Yankees also, let's not forget, it was not all that long ago they got embarrassed by the Cincinnati Reds. The Yankees had a bad series down in Washington. You've got 28, 29, 30 games to go in the rest of the Major League Baseball regular season. They could change your vibe and your thought process on it. I don't think what happened and transpired down in our nation's capital last series is now an indicator of things to come. And when you look at Boone, I get critical of the platitudes, some of the sayings he has to say after game, poke fun, everything's in front of us, everything that you hear from Aaron Boone after games. But, the Yankees are very comfortable with Boone as their manager. He buys in. You don't have to, as Cashman, the famous quote with Girardi, you don't have to take a deep breath before you walk into the room. And the days of the manager being handed the roster and being told, manage the team as you see fit, those days are long gone. It's all about collaboration. We're flat out of time. Dove, great job across the way. Hoffman, appreciate your honesty, Dove. As always. Brandon Cuddy, fantastic. Tim Britton, great. Connor Hughes, great as well. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10. I'll be on later on tonight for a little Rutgers football as they take on Howard. But straight ahead, Sean Marash, Chris McMonagle, come your way next right here. Where else? The Fan in New York.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.